Sean, any information that came out of that presentation related to mechanisms of resistance? One of the things I thought was really interesting is it looked like they looked at ESR1 mutations, and I guess they saw benefit there by adding the CDK inhibitor to fulvestrant. Can you kind of go back, like, in terms of what that really means?
Sure. So in this analysis, part of the presentation showed there was a trend that patients whose tumors harbored mutations in ESR1 were more likely to benefit from the addition of the CDK4/6 inhibitor, as if to suggest, and it is really just a suggestion, that the presence of certain ESR1 mutations might make fulvestrant alone somewhat ineffective therapy. Now, just to backtrack a little bit, ESR1 mutations in general, we know now that these are not that uncommon in metastatic ER-positive breast cancer. In general, people whose tumors have progressed on or after an aromatase inhibitor, we might expect to see it in 30% to 40% of cases. And classically, we talk about these mutations as rendering tumors relatively resistant to aromatase inhibitors. But if you dig through the laboratory data in a little bit more detail, you'll actually find that there are particular mutations in the ligand binding domain of ESR1, which are thought to also confer resistance to fulvestrant. And so what we may be seeing there is a failure of fulvestrant in ESR1 mutant patients. The PALOMA-3 team has previously presented an analysis of circulating tumor DNA from the same patients taken at baseline and again at progression. And what we saw there was the acquisition of particular ESR1 mutations at the time of progression in both groups of the study. And interestingly, these were the exact mutations that are thought in the lab to confer fulvestrant resistance.
Just to clarify, though, in terms of what the current clinical implication is of seeing one of these ESR1 mutations, you said in terms of aromatase inhibitors, but is it aromatase inhibitors or more ligand kind of strategies? Like, for example, would theoretically ovarian ablation, would that work in somebody with ESR1 or tamoxifen?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I actually don't know the data on specifically on the point of ESR1 mutation rates in people who've progressed on, for example, ovarian suppression plus tamoxifen. The thing about aromatase inhibitors to postmenopausal women is that they really do deplete estrogen levels almost to zero. So, now I'm jumping away from science and into philosophy, but if ever there's a time that the estrogen receptor is going to want to find a way to work without estrogen, it's in the presence of an aromatase inhibitor.
And there, of course, the issue of maybe an estrogen receptor downregulator or destroyer or whatever. And Sarah, I'm hearing there are other agents that are being looked at. Are any of them promising?
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of very encouraging data. There's the RAD agent, which looks very encouraging, is likely going to move into a phase three trial. I think we've all been trying to balance, obviously, side effects and efficacy. I think we've all been a little surprised that those agents do have some GI toxicity as well, which is different than, fulvestrant, for example. So we'll have to see how it all plays out.